You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. Welcome, everyone, as you always are this time. 11 a.m. Pacific Standard out here on the rainy West Coast today. I know, we're all a bunch of wusses. We can't take the rain. What's up with that? Right here on LA Talk Radio. Irreverent, cool, and entertaining internet talk all around the world. And I'm your friendly psychologist, as always. A great subject for you today. Not such a happy subject, actually, but I think you're going to sort of take a journey with me today and my special guest into feeling hope, happiness, and just uplifting your spirits. I'll be talking about my special guest in just a minute, but I really want to invite you to call in if you have any questions or comments about what we'll be talking about today, and I'll tell you in just a bit. The number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. All right. If you are shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, of course you can email me here at the radio station. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, at AOL.com, DocMichelle at AOL.com, and then ask your question if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. As I mentioned, well, it's not such a great topic, but you know that I have had many people on in the past, if you're a regular listener, who've talked about their near-death experiences, NDEs as we call them, for real people, not just, you know, people saying, well, yeah, I went out of my body, or I had a dream, or whatever. But for real, the real deal, folks. I'm talking about Eben Alexander, you know, the neurosurgeon who went into that deep coma, of course, and, of course, wrote the book Proof of Heaven. He's a real neurosurgeon, very medical guy, scientific guy. Not going to happen. We don't leave our body. We have brains, and they die, and that's it. Well, nope. He said, nope. And of course, one of my, who I consider a good friend and wonderful author, she's a psychotherapist, Mary Jo Rapini, shared with me her experience, true afterlife experience, which was amazing. Oh, there's so many books out there. And I can turn you on to some of the really good ones. But my guest today is one of the best in terms of helping people get through the loss of a loved one. And we all experience loss throughout our lives. Of course. What is loss? I mean, we have loss of jobs and loss of income and loss of family and relationships and, you know, loss of homes. And we all experience loss. But I think the most difficult type is, you know, coping with the loss of a loved one. We've all experienced that. Most of us have. And how do we grieve? How do we get through it? It's not the happiest of subjects, like I said, to talk about. But, you know, we all have different ways of grieving. You know, a lot of my patients come to me and they say, I can't feel anything. I'm numb. I feel guilty for not feeling. Am I in denial? I've shut off. Or I'll never get over this. I can't talk to anyone about it. I'm going to be in bed or in my house, I think, for weeks. You know, so we all grieve in our own unique way. And you'll see general patterns as we do. And of course, everyone around us, well-intentioning, really want us to feel better. So they may be full of great ideas about how we're supposed to grieve or how not. And, you know, they all wish us well and say many blessings and all that. One of my good girlfriends, actually, who I knew since I was 14, it's been a long time, her mom passed away a couple of days ago. I talked to her about this and how to get through it. And you may be told that grief comes in clear-cut stages, and you may even be given a name for the stage you're supposedly going through, right? Kubler-Ross has an acronym, DABDA, D-A-B-D-A, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. No, we don't go through perfect stages. We, you know, go up and down and whatever. And a lot of our friends say, be strong, cheer up, get on with your life. Or many families who say, snap out of it. Don't show your feelings. Yeah, that's a real healthy way of dealing with it. But, you know, get on with your life rather than be encouraged to allow your feelings to just run their natural course. And it's important for you to be clear that all this stuff is your grief. It's not others. So you don't have to please anyone. You don't have to do anything you want. You just have to feel your own feelings. And it'll show up in how you think. It'll come and go. And you might be confused. You might be, really having a hard time concentrating on just about everything. Or you may be able to focus your attention, but all you can focus on is your loss, right? And then, of course, the bargaining stage. Gee, oh God, if I was only a better daughter, mother, father, sibling, right? If I was only better, if I could have only... Why didn't I? We beat ourselves up. I'm just telling you about the different stages that we all go through and what I've heard from so many patients who come in to see me. And we have physical responses, just like panicky symptoms come from stress. You know, we may experience, you know, that tightness in our throat or heaviness across our chest. And literally pain in our heart. You know, people have really... suffered from a broken heart. True. It's medically based. You know, we have all these other things going on. Cold chills, hot flashes, palpitation. And I'm not going to go down the nasty road of depression here. But the thing is that you have to allow yourself to undergo changes in your behavior. You may sleep less. You may sleep more. And the dreams, of course, that come, you know, are a little scary. We have odd dreams. What was that about? Wake up more than normal. And, you may have a lot of dreams about those loved ones, which are really awesome when they come in, you know, to your dream. A lot of theorists say that we're in such a different brain stage that we are allowing... Okay, now I know I'm going here, guys, so just hang with me. Different frequencies. Frequencies we can't even experience in the physiological world that people are communicating with us on the other side. So I have a dream researcher who I talk to frequently. She is a hardcore psychologist, researcher, and she's researching a theory right now based on brain stages, brain waves, RAM and Delta, and how they may be able to get information from things we can't see, things we can't perceive, our intuition, our ability to be more psychic, things like that. So, I mean, this is for real, not woohoo crazy stuff, you know. Some of us do what we call a searching behavior sometimes. We look for the loved one's face among a crowd of people, right? And, of course, we always become attached to things that we associate with a loved one. You know, some people avoid all those reminders. Some people embrace them and say, this comforts me, and that's cool, too. What I'm trying to say to you is it's okay, whatever you feel, it's okay. Strange, guilt, we'll go through all these feelings. And, of course, like I said, the beating oneself up. I shoulda, coulda. Maybe I could have been a better relative. You know? And many grieving people report unusual happenings, as I was just talking about at the beginning of the show. They're not easy to describe, and they don't want to talk about it that much because they don't want people to think they're crazy. Yet they seem very real. You might be going about your daily life and then suddenly have like a sense of your loved one's presence. How many times have you guys felt that? I have. Many times. Some people report having auditory or visual experiences related to this person, and they're not psychotic. They don't have schizophrenia. I'm hearing voices or I'm seeing images of people. No, they're normal people. You know, and at times the loved one offers a message during a dream or, you know, a time of meditation. If you're stilling, quieting your mind and you're allowing whatever to come in, sometimes you hear a message. You go, what? What was that? Huh? What? Am I going crazy? Many times in my dreams, both my parents have come to me and they're just sitting around or watching and they seem pleasant and happy. And they'll say like a sentence to me and I'll wake up and I'll say, what did that mean? But it was usually a calming, peaceful sense of advice or something that made me feel better. In other words, it made me feel like they are there with me. And I was able to sort of tune into that. And they're happy and they're doing well. You know, and a lot of these experiences are more common than you might think, guys. Again, I was talking about that great book by Dr. Eben Alexander, the neurosurgeon, who went into that deep coma. It lasted for about a week. And then during the week-long coma, his neocortex did not function. Truly, he was pronounced dead. But it caused him to go through a life-changing visit to the afterlife. And that's the Proof of Heaven book. It was the New York Times best-selling book. He was everywhere in the media. And, of course, as I mentioned, Mary Jo Rapini, the psychotherapist, who I regard as a good friend, she wrote the book, Is God Pink? I'm not promoting this after all because she's a good friend, but, I mean, it's amazing. Dennis Apple wrote a great book, Life After the Death of My Son, What I'm Learning. And, of course, Pat Miller Dunham wrote a great book, I Saw Heaven. It's all this stuff is really good. So this is not woohoo weird stuff. You know, this is really good, solid information that you can get from people who have shared these experiences and are amazing. And one of those people who I highly regard after reading her book is my special guest today. Her name is Donna Visaki. She's the author of the book, I'll Meet You at the Base of the Mountain, One Woman's Journey from Grief to Life. By the way, Donna is also the publisher of Bella Spark magazine. You guys may have seen it before. It's a terrific magazine. You've got to get hold of it. She's also the founder of Bella Spark Productions and one of the top conscious raising organizations in the country. And of course, Donna co-hosts a weekly radio show. It's interviews with Kimmy Rose and Donna Visaki. It's on CBS New Sky Radio. You guys can hear it, and I'll turn you on to that as well. And we have the pleasure of having Donna on the air with us right now. Donna, how are you? So nice to have you here.
I am good. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Michelle.
Oh, I loved your book.
Thank you.
Oh, it was such a good read. Very inspiring and heartfelt. And I love the sense of hope and peace, and just a gentle, you know, urging other people to be okay with what's going on after the loss of a loved one. It was just beautifully, beautifully put. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It was. It's been a long and interesting journey, let me tell you.
I'll bet, Donna. I'll bet. I didn't really, you know, share with listeners at the beginning of the show what happened to you. So maybe you can lead everybody into, you know, how that doorbell rang at your home at, 5:30 in the morning, which changed your life.
Well, so. It was, we got woken up early one morning. It was May 2003, and the doorbell was ringing, and I glanced outside, and here's two police cars,
oh boy,
you know, parked in front of my house,
sure,
and,
sure.
You know, your heart just goes to your throat. You know, this isn't good. And when I entered the door, there were two police officers and a man with a chaplain badge his chest,
yes,
and standing on my doorstep, and I thought, oh my God, you know, I don't want to hear this.
No.
You know, I don't want to know this message at all.
No.
And they were there to tell my husband and I that our daughter was killed in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
Our
yeah.
daughter Christy, she was 21 years old, and she lived in Denver.
Mm.
And she had been killed in a car accident that night.
Well, Donna, I just, you know, I can't imagine. I just, my love and my heart goes out to you. And I know all my listeners who are, you know, with me and regulars and have talked about these issues themselves are with you as well. So, you know, I was,
It's not a place you want to be in.
No.
And all of a sudden you're forced to join a club that you never wanted to join.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I call it the Mothers of Dead Kids Club, but it's, you know, it's a place you don't want to be and you never think it's going to happen to you.
Well,
And, it's, you know, it's shattering and it changes your entire life.
Boy, does it ever. And I really appreciated the journey that you talked about too. And at the beginning, you know, as I was talking about stages we all go through. I mean, you didn't want to be a member of that damned club, you know.
Yes.
Screw them. I'm not joining. I'm not going to these groups. What the hell? I don't want to even be – I got to process this. What's going on, you know? And I know you went through so many stages. So maybe you can share with listeners, you know, some of the stages that you experienced.
Well, I think one of the first one is denial because you don't want to be a part of this and you don't want to believe that it's true.
Yeah.
And I had a woman who's now a dear friend of mine. She reached out to me several times. She called me and she would drop off little gifts at my house. And her son had died a few years earlier. And I refused to talk to her. It's like I'm not talking to you because I don't want to be a part of your club. You know, isn't right. And I compelled kind of almost forced to go to a Compassionate Friends meeting for parents who've lost children. And that was a life-changing event for me.
Yes.
Number one, you're sitting in a circle with a bunch of other parents who are also part of this club who have been experienced the same thing. And people share their stories, and you realize that you can talk about things in this club that you don't tell anybody else. You know, things like a bus is going by, you're standing on the street corner, and you just have this urge to like step in front of this bus. You know, you just want to put an end to this pain and be with your child again.
Of course.
You can share that. You know, if you shared that with your friends or other members of your family, they'd probably, you know, give you a bunch of antidepressants and send you to a doctor or something.
There you go. Yeah. Say, go to the hospital, right? You know, you just needed a safe place to be able to not be judged and have other people identify with you and say, oh my gosh, I feel the same way. And there's something, you know, you'll never feel the less pain, but there's something nourishing about knowing you. It is kind of a club of, wow, we all are feeling the same thing.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, it was hard. At the beginning of my book, the first couple chapters are really raw and emotional because that's how I was feeling, very raw. And I remember at that first Compassionate Friends meeting, this one woman who was like the greeter as people came in that, she asked us why we were there and everything. And I walked in with another woman that I just met as I was walking in the door.
Yes.
And both of us, this was our first time attending, and we both had just lost a child recently, and she said, oh, fresh grief.
Wow.
And I can't believe how that term has stuck with me.
Wow.
It's like fresh grief. I felt like raw meat, you know?
Yes.
And then as she was leading the meeting and everything, she was so very calm and collected, and she had also lost a child. But, you know, obviously it had been some time in that, and she was in a different space, and I figured she had the old grief variety.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was an interesting experience. But I'll tell you, that meeting changed my life, and it wasn't because I was able to share what I was going through with these other parents. It was a totally different experience.
Well, we all, and you know, you're right, Donna, we all have our own truth and our own experience and what, you know, whatever our journey takes us to get through, if we ever do. I know we do, like you said, have stages, and we have to allow ourselves to get through that, and allowing ourselves, you know, it's funny, I was talking about this too, and I was going to bring this up later, but it just seems to be coming up now. But we beat ourselves up a lot. Maybe I could have been better. Maybe I could have, you know, Did you have a lot of those thoughts?
Of course. And you feel so much guilt. And could I have done something differently? My husband felt horrible because, he felt like neither one of us got a chance to say goodbye.
Well, sure.
She didn't live with us. She lived in Denver. And I'm about an hour away from her. And we hadn't talked to her. In fact, she had called me that day, the morning before, and I missed a call at work. And so, all this guilt and sadness around not being able to have said what you wanted to say.
Sure. And we have to be, learn to get through that phase and what firsthand, but what it has taught me as well, that we've got to clean it up every moment with the loved ones and tell them, try to call them back and talk to them and really it helps us really become totally aware of how we need to reach out every day, to those loved ones who are with us and on the other side as well, which we're going to be talking about, because you can do that and get some feedback from them. Trust me. I love the way in your book, though, Donna, you talk about how you viewed many spiritual teachings as the woo-woo spiritual stuff. I love that.
Christy's death really was my catalyst to really start searching for answers, and I wasn't really this whole spirituality and life after death and all of those concepts wasn't part of my arena. It wasn't that I was totally opposed to it. I had never had an opportunity to experience it or a reason to, search it out or anything. And I have to share this. This is what really started on my journey when I was at that Compassionate Friends meeting. And this was about 2 or 3 months after Christy had died, when I had gone to this meeting, there was a woman there, and she came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Your daughter was standing behind you all night long, and she's a beautiful girl."
Wow.
And she was a psychic medium, and she was actually there because her son had died just a few months earlier.
Wow.
So she was there as a parent, but she was still, a medium, and she could see my daughter, and she could talk to her, and she gave me her card and invited me to come see her and see if I wanted to do a reading and connect with Christy. And again, it's like, what? The only thing I knew was like 1-800 psychics, and I didn't really believe in any of this stuff.
Sure.
But you're so desperate to connect.
Of course.
And to know your child is okay, your loved one is okay, that you'll talk to anybody.
Yes, that's so true. You will. I mean, you do want, some kind of help and feedback, and you're open to it. But that's lovely that she came up to you and said that, because it just does give you a spark of hope. And I know you then sort of had a journey of reading, Deepak and Marianne Williamson, who's lovely, and Wayne Dyer, and many other, people who have studied and possibly gone through the experience themselves, more enlightened people, provided you with some great answers that you were looking for. So,
it was, it was an eye-opening experience, and it took me about a month to get up the courage to go see this woman, but when I did, I was able to connect with my daughter. And then I started searching for answers everywhere. I started reading. First, you start reading How to Talk to Dead People books.
Right,
books by
exactly.
people like James von Prague and Sylvia Brown, mediums who talk to people who have passed on in that.
Yes.
But then, you start opening up to other things. Again, the Deepak Chopras and the Wayne Dyers and Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, I swear, jumped off the shelf at me at the bookstore and just started opening my mind up to so many other possibilities. It was fascinating.
Oh, yes, it really does, because, we're getting into the possibility and information and things like that, and it's lovely, because I've had people on who were amazing, who told me things that I never spoke to them in my life, and they were describing individuals in my life who had passed, and coming up from with information even about my best friend when I was 14. who was in a car accident. And, you know, she asked me his name, and she said, well, he wants to tell you how, what happened. And, oh, my God, I'm just saying, is she reading my mind? Is she that psychic? Is she, or is she really communicating? But she said sentences that he would say to me when we were 14 years old.
Oh.
So I'm telling you, it's Donna, I've been there with that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And then you start to, Christy said she sends the signs in that, and we would see butterflies and we'd get pennies, and then once you start opening up to that, that it is possible that our loved ones are still there and they want to connect with us, they want us to know that they're around, and that we start seeing those little signs and messages everywhere.
Yes. And you do have to be sort of open to it and ready, because unless our brains are ready to take things in, we're not going to, that vibration is not going to be ready to do it. And I really, I hear that so much. Maybe, what are some of those answers, or what is some of the help that you started getting from some of the folks who were really good? I mean, the Marianne Williamsons and the Wayne Dyer, of course, and what were some of the messages?
You know, I think the biggest message is that love never dies, and that our soul lives on when we pass on, and that it you know, we're just in a different place, a different, you know, frequency or vibration or dimension or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that, and we're always connected.
Yeah.
I got that we have guides and angels around us and our loved ones around us all the time.
Yes.
And that we can ask them for help and guidance and support and just be open to the answers, and they will come. That all we have to do is ask, and they will help us. That was, I think, the biggest piece that I got out of all of this, that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that. And, you know, we do. And I think a lot of people are a little afraid to do it because they think, ooh, am I going crazy? Or they have to, you know, they don't want to do it in front of their family or other people because they'll say, they definitely think I'm going crazy. But, you know, you really need time to relax and go within and be alone and meditate if you can. You don't have to turn into a fabulous yogi. You could just, and I want you to share your meditation process in just a bit with others, how you know, allowed your, as you call them, angels or guides to come in and help you. But I want to remind everybody, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my on-air guest today, Donna Vasaki, she's the author of the book. It's a terrific book. I'll Meet You at the Base of the Mountain, One Woman's Journey from Grief to Life. And we'll be also talking at the end of the show how you can get in touch with Donna and pick up the book and find out more about her organization that she is the founder. It's Bella Spark Productions, and of course her great magazine with the same name as well. So we were just kind of talking about, you know, getting messages and things that we hear and how to, you know, communicate with our guides. We have guides.
We have guides.
Yeah. Okay.
We have guides and angels. I have so many fascinating stories that have happened to me. But you know, when I started reading books by Doreen Virtue about connecting with your angels and everything, and that you just have to ask and they will help you. And I had decided that I wanted to bring in these speakers. I live in Fort Collins. We're about an hour north of Denver. And as I'm reading these wonderful books and everything, I'm going, well, I want to hear these people. I want to see these people. And nobody comes to Fort Collins. So I thought, I'm just going to bring somebody in. So I started, you know, bringing in these speakers. And, of course, at the top of my list was Deepak Chopra.
I just had this
vision of bringing Deepak Chopra to Fort Collins because I was so inspired by his words. And I'm riding my bike. I remember so clearly it was early fall, and I was just kind of kicking off a series of speakers, the Extraordinary People series. And I'm riding my bike and thinking about all the details and things like that, and all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, I can't pick up Deepak Chopra at the airport in Bob's Buick. And trust me, if you've ever seen my husband's car, you'd know why. And I said, you know, I need a limo to pick him up. I need a limo company. company, and I didn't really have any money. I'm starting this kind of on an empty credit card and a leap of faith, and and so I'd been reading these books by Doreen Virtue that you can ask your guides and angels, that we have them around us, and just ask for what you want. And so I said, okay, angels, here you go. I need a limo company to come on board as a sponsor of my events, and somebody who's willing to pick up my speakers at the airport. And so I sent it out there, you know, and this was like 9 o'clock in the morning. And then that evening, my husband and I were at this big party at the Hilton, and there were lots of people there, and lots of good food and wine and everything, and had a great time. And later on that evening, about 9 o'clock, I'm looking for my husband. I'm ready to go home. And somebody said, oh, he's over there talking to some limo lady. And I had never said a word to him. But I tracked him down, and sure enough, he's talking to a woman that he sort of knew from somewhere. And she has a limo company. And I thought, well, what the heck? What have I got to lose? I might as well ask her, you know. So I started to tell her about these people that I was bringing in and everything. And she was so excited. She knew about these people, and she'd heard of them and everything. She practically begged me to drive my speakers. And I just, you know, I walked away that night, and I'm going, whoa, you angels, you are really fast. 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, but it works. It does work like that. Sometimes you don't get things instantly, but, oh, my gosh, if you start asking and connecting and trusting that our angels are there, our guides, our loved ones, you will start seeing these synchronistic events and things pop in.
I think so. And you know, a lot of people have called in and or written me, and sometimes they say, you know, the angels are guides. They're all made up in our minds to make us feel better, right, about our own lives. And yeah, okay, maybe, you know, kind of work on our own grief and how to deal with those who have passed. But what would you say to that?
I would tell them to talk to a child. My grandchildren are amazing, and you know, we always hear about little kids who have imaginary friends and things like that, and we always kind of pretend, well, you know, that's cute, you know, and pretend like that doesn't really matter. But my oldest grandson, Nicholas, was 6 when Christy died. This is my son's little boy. And they were buddies. And she would show up in his room. She would just, you know, all the time he would see her, and, hi, Nick, how are you doing today? And my his brother, Drew, was just a baby when Christy died, so he really didn't even know her. And Christy would show up for him. And I my daughter Jennifer had a little girl after about it. She was born about a year after Christy died. And she connects so easily. But they, Nicholas, I have to share this story. When Nicholas was 9, so this was 3 years after Christy had died, and he would still see her. And we talk about him because I don't want them to think that it's weird and and, you know, not real. And so we, you know, we'd have conversations about when Christy'd show up and things like that. He'd share with me. And I remember when he was 9, he would walk home from school, and he'd be home alone for about an hour until his dad got home. And I remember asking him one day, I said, so Nick, have you seen Christy lately? And he said, He said, she sits on the couch with me after school until my dad gets home.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, children are very open.
They're
and aware
open.
Of these things.
They're
stories.
Open, and if, unless you tell them that that's not real, you know, they know that it's real. And and then a couple months later, I asked Nicholas again. I said, "Have you seen Christy lately? Does she still sit with you after school?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "But sometimes when I'm in school, I think I see her in school. And sometimes when I'm having trouble with my math, she'll whisper the answer in my ear. She'll go 25."
Whoa! Is that something? Isn't that lovely? That I just love stories like
and,
that.
And Drew, the younger one, he sees angels.
Oh.
He sees aura colors. You know, you've heard about people who see people's auras and their colors. He is so intuitive. They're just fascinating. So if you don't believe in this, talk to a little kid.
Yeah.
And the children nowadays especially are so much, I don't think they have the same, they call them the veils, you know, the kind of the blocks that that so many of us, you know, that are older came in with, these blocks between the different dimensions.
Yes.
And that, but these little kids, they don't have those, and they can see.
Oh, gosh,
and it's like there's everything is still there. Our loved ones are still there. The angels, our guides, whatever you want to call them, they're still there. They're just in a different dimension.
Yes, I think there really is something to hear that. I've heard so many people tell me about seeing others, you know, who've passed on, and they're pretty straight, nice, normal people, I guess is what I say, because I deal with a lot of psychiatric patients. But Donna, we have a caller on the line, and shall we take a shot at it here and see what the person has to say? Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Donna Vasaki. Who's this?
Hey, hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Colby.
Hey, Colby, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Doing great. This is such an amazing show. I'm such a huge fan, your guest is really great. This is so cool.
Yeah, she is.
I just had a question for Donna.
Yes.
I was with some friends in their basement. That was kind of a hangout spot, and all of a sudden, I literally got pushed off of my stool. I was in a circle. There was about six or seven of us. We're all just hanging out, listening to music, and literally, I get pushed off my stool, and I get the chills that go like pass completely through me.
Yes.
And I believe in, you know, ghosts and stuff, and I believe in spirits, and I told my friends, I said, you know, I just got pushed off my stool by a ghost. And everyone kind of laughed and didn't believe me. But the owner, whose house we were at, she said, no, my basement does have, you know, energies in here. And everybody else was kind of laughing with it or whatever. So we all go upstairs. The girls whose house it was, and then her friend went back downstairs because someone forgot their phone. And they come screaming, running up the stairs. And I guess they said that someone came up right next to her and whispered her name in her ear. And they saw like a glimpse of a man in a top hat. And I was asking for your input on how they get stuck here, and I don't know, just if I can have a little more information. It kind of scarred me, to be honest.
So you got scared.
Well, don't be afraid of it, because most ghosts and energies, they're not evil. You know, they're just there, and some of them do get stuck here. Sometimes spirits, when they die, they stay, they're so attached to perhaps at one time, you know, maybe years and years ago, this person lived in that house, and he's so attached to that house and the experiences he had at that house that they don't realize that they're supposed to let go and move on.
Yeah.
But most of them aren't, you know, they're evil, but when they find, you know, people that might be open to, you know, feeling it. And I feel things more than anything else. I don't really see things, but I feel the energy. Boy, I can, you know, if you walk into a room in that and there's something going on, you can feel it energetically. You get goosebumps, and you can just feel this energy running through your body in that. But they're just kind of stuck. They don't know that they're supposed to, you know, move forward, and they're attached. They say up in Colorado we have a lot of, you know, old gold mines and things like that up in the hills, and there's a lot of miners still there that they're so attached to their claim, you know, that they don't leave and that, but they're not bad.
Yeah.
And I've felt things before, you know, where people have touched me, or spirits have touched me, or whatever you want to call them, and things like that. I've never gotten nudged off a stool before, but
yeah.
You know, I would be excited that you are open enough to experience that, because it really takes a special person who has the, because your frequency is high enough that you can feel them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much.
Well,
yeah.
I really thank you and can't thank you enough. I guess my one last question for you is there, if we are not afraid, if we don't show the fear, then they can't do anything, right?
They can't do anything to you, and if you are afraid, you are sovereign. You say no, get out of my field. No, get out of my room. Get out of my whatever, and go away. And the thing that I use sometimes, because I've had a couple experiences where some scary things have shown up in my face, and you say only Christ consciousness and higher is allowed in this space.
Right.
Yes.
And kind of, you know, surround yourself energetically, feel it energetically with this kind of bubble of Christ consciousness or love or, you know, powerful energy in that. And so if anything that is less than that, it will have to back away. I actually tell this to my grandchildren because sometimes they are so open and that they sometimes see things that scare them. Not that it's necessarily something bad or icky, but it scares them.
Sure.
And so I always tell them too, you know, only Christ consciousness or higher. And then I always tell them to bring in like Aunt Christie and she'll scare them away.
That's great.
That's really cool. Well, wow, that's really amazing.
That is amazing. And
I love that.
And I know, Donna, you're talking also. So, you know, the Christ consciousness can mean anything.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to pertain to any particular religion. It's just the higher power, you know, can sort of come in and you have the power on this particular plane here because you're physical. So they're out of their realm. So, thank you so much, Kobe, for calling.
Well,
it's great to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I really can't thank you enough, Dr. Michelle. It's such a pleasure. And,
you're welcome.
And thank you so much. I really can't thank you guys enough. This has been such a pleasure. I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Kobe, for calling in. You too. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Wow, that was cool. I like that.
That was interesting,
Yeah, I love to hear experiences from other people.
Well, and once you start opening up, I think, to that, you start, again, you'll start experiencing more of those little things if you're in a place like that where there's, you know, might be some ghosts or things like that.
Try not to react with fear. And I just wanted to, share with listeners that the title of your book is for a particular reason. And maybe you can share what I'll Meet You at the Base of the Mountain is about. I just sort of wanted to jump in with that a little bit because this was part of your journey. And this is
well, it was. And about a year or maybe 2 years after Christie died, I met, I had gone to a conference or something with a lot of different speakers in this arena, and I met a woman. Her name was Kimmy Rose Zapp, and she's a psychic medium and that, and we just hit it off. She's now the co-host of my radio show. Anyway, we hit it off and just had a marvelous connection and everything, and she's in Michigan and I'm in Colorado, and we both went home. And she sends me an email, and she said, Christie came to see me.
Aww.
And she had a message for you, and she said, Christie said, I'll meet you at the base of the mountain. And Kimmy went on to describe this big, lush, green, beautiful mountain and this river running by it and everything. And I said, well, I don't know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
And then, a year later, Kimmy was and I were together again, and she was doing readings, you know, where she's leading a group of people and she's doing readings for them. And she called on me and she said, Christie's here and she has a message for you.
Aww.
And she said, she'll meet you at the base of the mountain.
Aww.
And she gives me the same message again. And I said, Kimmy, you told me that a year ago and I don't know where that is.
Right.
And I feel like I have spent, you know, like the last 10 years searching for that mountain, so desperately wanting to connect with my daughter that, you know, and I, you know, I've done some traveling over the last few years, and every place I go, you know, I'm, is this the mountain, Christy? I thought I was supposed to go to Peru with Greg Braden for a conference, and, and I was sure that Machu Picchu was the mountain, and this is where I was going to finally connect with Christy. And I've been, you know, I've been to other places, and I live in Colorado, and there's mountains here, and I'm searching and searching and searching for Christy and this mountain for like the last 10 years.
Yes.
Trying to connect with my daughter.
Oh, that's, you know, and how did you connect this? How did you sort of put the dots together and sort of realize what this was about?
I think it's been a 10-year journey, you know, and it's finally, you know, and I don't want to give away the end of the book.
I don't either.
No, you're right. Good thinking, Donna. You know, it has been all about the journey.
Yes.
You know, and the answers and the things that I have learned. I've worked with so many amazing visionaries. And learned so much and grown so much in who I am and in my knowing of what the world is all about, what this universe is all about, and everything. And so I think, you know, my search has been all about the journey.
Beautiful.
And I, one of the chapters I wrote in the book was, it was all about me. You know, I started bringing these speakers in, you know, and I started a magazine with a vision of bringing this information to people.
Yes.
The tagline for Bella Spark Productions is igniting change. And so, you know, I saw myself as I learned stuff, you know, sharing this information, wanting to get this information out to other people.
Yeah.
But I realized it was all about my journey, you know, and everybody that I worked with, everything that I learned and everything. It was all about me. It wasn't about anybody else. It was all about me.
That's great, though, because, I mean, in the end, you're reaching out. You're helping other people with your radio show and your book, of course. And you are, it's about you. But what your purpose is to really reach out and share all of this wonderful information with people. And so I wanted to ask, what's the best way that people can get a hold of you, find out more about you and your magazine and your meetings, and also get a hold of your book, I'll Meet You at the Base of the Mountain?
They can go to my website, Bella Spark Productions. It's B-E-L-L-A Spark, S-P-A-R-K. BellaSpark.com. I'm sorry, and there's no S on the end of Spark. It's one Spark, because we all have a divine spark in us.
Yeah.
BellaSpark.com. My book's available on Amazon.
Yeah.
But you can. There's a link to our magazine, Bella Spark Magazine, on the website, and so you can find out more information. Lots of really good articles and everything, and events, and we I do events with other people, and I'm also do events, you know, or do more speaking on my own now, and it's been a fascinating journey, and Christy is my partner. She is my partner in this whole venture, and she's helping me, and with my angels and guides helping me to pull, you know, to take the next step and do whatever it is we feel like we're supposed to do next.
I love it. And you are really, truly such a down-to-earth, if you pardon the expression, person, too. I mean, you know, you say this.
Yeah, I don't wear airy-fairy clothes, and I think I'm pretty normal, and I drink wine. And
you're so funny.
I even eat red meat.
There you go. Well, Donna, thank you so much for being on the show today. Just a pleasure.
Thank
you.
I so appreciate being able to share with you and with your listeners and everything.
That's
so
great.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. You take good care, and do keep in touch. Thanks so much for for all your help and advice to others.
And you have a beautiful day. You are a beautiful spark, Michelle.
Thank you. That's lovely. Thank you so much, Donna. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's my special guest, Donna Vasaki. By the way, if you missed the show today or part of it, you just got in on part of it, the show will be up in the archives for you to hear tomorrow, you know, as all of my shows are. Of course, all of my shows are also available on iTunes podcasts for free. So I'll turn you on how to get to those, too. If you just log on here to latalkradio.com, channel 1, go to my page, and bada boom, it's right up there. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others. And that's the way it works in life. I do have a special guest coming up again next week. It's about a man who transformed his life from being a gang member, being out there in the world and having a tough time, and bringing himself up and inspiring others. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. It's Dr. Michelle out.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing the flashing rays of coming light. Come back here so I can get your name. Say it just the same.